Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, are you ready for Thanksgiving? Here. Let's see. We just got through Halloween. We go through Thanksgiving, then the shopping afterwards, and then we get ready for Christmas, and then after Christmas, New Year's, then we get into Valentine's Day. Have to get it all worked out, mapped out. Seems like just finished doing July 4th, and I'm still trying to figure out what happened to May. I can't remember May. So, yeah, it's just sort of busy, get this done, check it off the list, go to the next thing, because check, it's going to be here before you know it, and everything's going. But then, wait a minute, you're here. You're here on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You're here to worship God, and perhaps I think most of you came with the idea of this is the way to reflect and to remember Thanksgiving and to honor Thanksgiving by gathering God's house and pausing from all the rush and all the things that are on our list to do, and everything that's out there, pausing the stillness, the presence of God here with the power of the Holy Spirit, pausing to give thanks to God for all that God has done, for giving thanks to God for the abundance in which and with which we live, to remember that the pilgrims who started Thanksgiving were giving thanks for survival, that they had a harvest that was plentiful, that they had friends, the Native Americans, who were teaching them how to live in this land where they were not accustomed to living. And they were stopping in the midst of everything, stopping and saying, let's have a feast, because our harvest is bountiful and we're going to survive the winter without freezing to death or starving to death. We're going to survive. And let's give thanks to God for that. Maybe we're not worried about starving to death or freezing to death, but we do pause. We do say, Lord, we want to reflect on what it means to give thanks to you. We want to remember you and remember the bounty and remember the blessings. Remembering the blessings even in and through difficult times. Because as we remember this past year, we can remember perhaps the harvest, the bounty of the harvest in whatever form that may be for you. We also remember the difficult times, the times in which we felt broken, the times in which we felt betrayed, the times in which we felt pain and anguish and uncertainty, all of those things. But in the midst of that, we also realize God is with us. God is with us no matter what. And God is there. And so we reflect to give thanks to God. Why do you give thanks to God? It can't just be that God has blessed you with abundance. There's other reasons. And this scripture passage, Jesus preaching to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, This scripture passage reminds us that we have many reasons to give thanks to God, many reasons to be thankful to God, and many reasons that perhaps are not readily seen or understood in our society, in the world in which we live out our days. We give thanks to God because, as Jesus says, life is more than, and he gives us a list, those things that seem so important to us. And you might say, well, they're not that important, but he gets, you know, the clothing and things like that and work and what you're doing and stuff like that. And then he talks about even the food we eat. And he says, life is more than these things, these material things. Life is more than how we live out our lives and whether or not we have all the things that we think we deserve in the world. Life is more than that. I give thanks to God for giving us that understanding, for giving me that understanding that life is more than all the material things. Life is so much more than that. And life is more than worrying about those things, because, you know, you can have great possessions, but most of the time, I think it's always true that your possessions possess you more so than you possessing your possessions. I can't believe I said that correctly, but I did. But three times in a row. Oh, I'm being redundant. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be redundant. Being redundant is not good. But anyway, so life is more than those things. Well, you say, well, that's well, fine, and good. Then what about those who don't have enough to eat? What about those who don't have clothes to wear? What about those who are worried about the basic needs that are present, even in our community, even in our neighborhood, even in our state, our nation, that people are in that situation? John Holler, the director of the Edworth Children's Home, our children's home in Columbia, he told a story not long back about two young boys who had been taken from their mother. And part of the reason they were taken from their mother and placed at Epworth was the fact that the mother was not there in the evenings, and she would leave them alone and she would be gone all night for unknown reasons. And the boys had nothing to eat. And so after she left, they would go out in cover of darkness and rummage through trash to find something to eat because they were starving. So you go, well, Lord, it's well, fine, and good to tell us not to worry about what to eat, but then some people have to worry about what to eat. That is a real thing. I am thankful that when there are people who have to worry about something to eat, that they also have the opportunity to encounter Christians, the church, not just society, not just the state, even though society and the state does it as well, but Christians, the church, people who reach out with the hands and feet of Christ saying, here, here, we will provide. We will make sure you're warm and safe. We will make sure that you have something to eat and clothes to wear. We will make sure that you receive an education, support, and counseling to help you along your way. We will make sure that we can do all we can do for you so that you can give thanks to God, who says there's more to life than worrying about these things. You know, this past week we started the Shepherd Station. It is a ministry to feed those who might be, as David Bryant said, food insecure within our neighborhood. And David did a great job of publicizing it, especially in the schools, publicizing it with the counselors and others who would know of children whose families might be insecure. And we had it on Tuesday night, and they prepared 50 plates of two hot dogs and beans and slaw and I think chips and other things. And then one of our church members made homemade soup so that every car that stopped by would get a quart of homemade soup in containers that could be microwaved or frozen so they could keep it for later or whatever, so that every car received that. And so everything was set up, and Bethesda, of course, showed up. We had more volunteers than we knew what to do with, but It was great and wonderful, and everything was done to perfection, and no one showed up. So it was disappointing. Beg pardon? If you build it, they will come. True. We're still hopeful. We are. But God had a different plan. And David has written this up. Maybe some of you already read it. But God had a different plan. And so they had all this food. It was prepared. It was ready. So they said, what are we going to do with it? And David said, well, let's just see if we can take it over to the rescue mission, Greenville Rescue Mission. So let's just take it over there and say, here you go. Here's all this food. So they went over there. And when they got there, this guy met him, Joseph. He was over there working. And he told him, he said, well, you know, we've had some rain. You know, we've had all this rain. So all the homeless people have decided to come to shelter. So he said, we have this giant group of people. And we were panicked because we didn't have food. Who wants to finish the story? We didn't have food. And they said we were actually going to just ration little bits of food to people because we just didn't have food, didn't have the means to go out and buy it. And he said, and then you show up with all this food, because no one showed up at Shepherd's Station. God had a plan. Joseph said, you know, we were hoping that Jesus would show up. But he didn't just show up, he showed out. God has a plan. We can be grateful to a God that says there are more important things than worrying about these things. Look at the priorities, our Thanksgiving priorities. Are we giving thanks for what we've possessed this year? Are we giving thanks for how God has used us to be a blessing to others, how God directs us as a church to be a blessing to others, how God directs us to bear the name of Christ into all of the world. God also calls upon us to give praise to God's name and to give glory because God cares about us so very much. I love this passage, and I think it's part of the reason this passage is so famous, not just because it's God's holy word and it's the words of Christ, but also because of two phrases that are in here. Verse 29 says, look at the birds of the air. And verse 28, middle way, says, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the birds, consider the lilies. Those words just ring out to us. They remind us that in the midst of all of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of our desires, disappointments, whatever, that Jesus says, just consider the birds, consider the lilies of the field, consider how God cares for them. God is there for them. And then realize, as Christ would say, we are of so much more value than they. We're so much more important in the sight of God than they are. I don't know if y'all have heard of Steve Fitzhugh. He played for the Denver Broncos and broke a lot of records and all this sort of stuff. And then after he retired, he became a speaker with the for athletic associations and youth groups, and as well known as a speaker as well. I don't know if you've ever heard him speak, but on one occasion I heard him, and he was talking about how he first encountered God. He said his family did not go to church, didn't know anything about Christianity, never was involved with it at all. But he said he had an older sister, and one Sunday morning, the older sister said, you're coming with me to church. And he was like, why? And she said, because there's this boy who's there, and I really want to meet this boy, and so I'm going to go to church, and you're going with me, and I'm going to meet this boy who's at church. So he said, here I was, age 12. I went to church for the very first time in my life because my sister wanted to meet a boy there. And he said, the preacher got up and he read Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it so I don't misquote it. You probably know it by heart. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. He said, I heard those words. He said, I didn't have any plans. I didn't have any hope. I felt like I didn't really have any future. And he said, here this preacher was saying, this is what God is saying to you. I know the plans I have for you for a future and for hope. And he said, that one verse on that Sunday morning, first time I'd ever been in church, changed my life forever. Because he said, I knew someone cared about what happened to me. We have an opportunity to give thanks to God, to praise God's name, because God cares for us in just that way. Whenever someone says, you know, I just don't know if God cares, I always have to use one of my favorite verses, which is that God numbers the hairs on our head, and that is what the Scripture tells us. And you go, well, then God knows I have 10,000 hairs or whatever, but no, it means each hair has a number, each one, number three. Each hair has a number. That's how much God cares. Why would God care? And I know I've told you this before, but it's one of my points of saying to people, God cares about you so much, He has your hairs have numbers in God's sight. That's how much God cares. That's how much God cares about the minute details. We don't care which hair is what number, but God cares. That's how much God cares. And so we come to God and we understand that. And we worship God because of that. He says in verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? The grass of the field. God cares for the grass of the field that's just here for a season and then gone. Jesus says, if God cares about the grass of the field, then certainly God cares about you. God cares about everything about you and what is going on in your life. I believe also that we can give thanks to God and praise to God and come to God with gratitude because God understands exactly what we're striving for in life. Those things that tend to possess us, those things that tend to be of paramount importance in our lives. That God understands that this human condition, this human life that we're on, is a process of striving for one thing after another. And He reminds us here in verse 33, but strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Strive first for those things, and all other things will be given to you. A few years ago at annual conference, we had the opportunity to hear someone who spoke to us from Romania. They had come to share with us about what the United Methodist Church was doing in Romania. And they had a remarkable story. And they had a video of a church there in Romania, in one of the towns, and it had been rebuilt because when the communists came in, they destroyed many of the churches. Did away with them, made it illegal and all this stuff. And so he said, now this church has been rebuilt and here's the steeple and there's the bell and the bell is ringing. And so we had a video of that. And he said, we made sure when we rebuilt it that it was the highest point in our city, that no other place was higher than our steeple. And he said, you see the bell and how it's ringing. He said, I wanted to share with you the fact that y'all helped to give money to buy the bell when the original church was built. And y'all bought the bell and had it sent to us, and we had that bell in our steeple, and we were so grateful to the churches, United Methodist Churches, in the annual conference, and gave money for the bell so that we had one. And then when the communists came in, they destroyed our building, and the bell was thrown in the front yard of the area. And he said, it sat there and sat there. And he said, we knew we couldn't retrieve the bell. We knew we would be caught and shot, executed, if we did anything like that. But he said, early one morning, as people were trying to get to work and different things, he said, three young men from the church went there. They dressed as sorry. They dressed as construction workers. They drove up the church, churchyard. They walked out. They picked up the bell. They put it in the back of the truck, and they drove away. They knew that if they were caught, that they would be shot. But they wanted to salvage that bell. So they took it, and they buried it in a garden because they had hope that one day they could rebuild their church. They buried it. When the church was rebuilt, they dug it up, put it back in the steeple. So we got to see videos of that church bell ringing, that United Methodist Church in Romania. We have so many reasons to give thanks to God, so many ways in which God uses us to be a witness to others, so many ways in which God says there's so much more to life than all the things that worry us, all the things that drag us down, all the things that seem to just be what we're striving for. God says, strive after the kingdom, and you will have all things. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for